Okay, so we are in this series called Your Picture is on His Refrigerator. If you haven't been here, that's a weird title. What does that even mean? Well, last week, I got this. Somebody sent me this picture. All right, we have that picture right there. This is a picture that Marina drew for her daddy, Joel, and it's just perfect, beautiful, right? I mean, there's a couple things I noticed about it. I didn't realize that Joel wore elf shoes. Okay, that was different, and it doesn't appear that his head is in the center of his body. It's just a little over at the side. Now, Joel sent me a picture of, this is the artist, Marina, and Joel. Here, we got the picture, right, of the family. There we go. Pretty bold to send me a picture in Chiefs gear, right? The second row is angry right now, so angry. And he's in his mullet wig. Well, when you get a picture like that, what do you do with it? I tell you what you do with it. You take that picture, you grab a magnet, you put it right on your refrigerator. And it doesn't matter how good the picture is, or if the artist is any good, or if the composition is great, or the colors were right. Doesn't matter any of that. You put it on your refrigerator because you delight in that person. And listen, for this month, I want you to understand this, that God loves you and He delights in you. And it doesn't matter what your fitness is. It doesn't matter what you make. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter your white, brown, black, what. He loves you. He delights in you. Not because you're so great. Not because you're better than everybody around you. But because you're His kid. Now, for some people, it's hard to understand Heavenly Dad as this loving Heavenly Dad because we didn't have that great a relationship with our dad. And I've been talking a lot about my Heavenly Dad. Let me talk a little bit about my earthly dad for a second. My earthly dad and I have some things in common. We have the same name. We're both Jack Hawkins. He didn't want me to be junior, so he's Jack Wayne Hawkins. I'm Jack Douglas Hawkins. All right. Because of our name, we had the same nickname in high school. Think donkey. Jack. Okay, right? Somebody filled in the blank in church. When your name is Jack, the nicknames are plentiful and ever increasing. And I'm not jacking around. And if you don't believe me, you don't know Jack. And I can keep going. So we have the same birthday. Me and my dad were born on the very same day. Get out your phone. September 27th. Write it down. I'm a large. Gift cards to Home Depot. Come on, write it down. We also had this feeling. We love sports. And we both believed that if you yelled loud enough, the refs could hear you through the television. When right before my 21st and his 59th birthday, I got my very first credit card. And one of the first purchases I ever made was tickets to the game. The Anaheim Rams. We lived in Brea, California, and we went to see the Anaheim Rams. I grew up 8 miles away from that stadium. And if you're a football fan and old, that was the Eric Dickerson Rams. We were in the end zone, and I remember that the Rams made a goal line stand at the end of regulation to win the game. Well, that sealed in me a love to be in a seat. Tickets to the game. During COVID, that was hard, but I had a friend who was one of the coaches for the Buffalo Bills, and they were going to be playing in Arizona, which is where my kids lived. So I thought, hey, Jacques, can I get 2 tickets to the game? And he said, yes. Only about 5,000 people got to go to that game. And he said, you can go, but you can't say hi to me or shake hands. You can't be down on the field, you know, COVID, right? So I wanted to make sure he knew I was there. So we have a picture. It was so funny. One of the other coaches said, hey, Jacques, your head's in the crowd. Which for the assistant defensive line coordinator, they don't usually get that very often. Well, that game, I was homing for the Bills and my friend Jacques and my son-in-law, who I brought to the game, it was his birthday. He was a Cardinal fan. And with 30 seconds left, the Bills scored to give them a 5-point lead, which I thought sealed the victory. That was one of the most epic plays that followed. Kyler Murray stepped back and threw a 43-yard pass into the end zone to break my heart. Now we watched, that play is now called the Hail Murray. It's all part of football lore. And if we watched SportsCenter that night, and we were on SportsCenter, I have a picture right here, when that play happened, there we are. And I have one more. You can see my son-in-law raising up, and I'm in white right there with my head between my legs. There's nothing like tickets to the game, right? Well, I'm learning that my heavenly dad wants to give us tickets to the game. And let me explain to you what that means. When Jesus left, well, the last things he said to people included this idea. And it also includes what I consider one of the scariest words in the entire Bible. So we're going to read it right now. It starts like this. Acts 1:8. See if you can pick out the scary word. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. What's the scary word, people? Witnesses. When we think of a witness, what do we think of? I got some images for you. First image. There we go. You want to be a witness? Put on those suits. Let's pump up our bicycle tires. Here we go. We're going to scour Modesto. Okay, how about this? I promise you, out in front of the big game today, there will be somebody like this on a megaphone. Every sporting event I've ever been to, there's been somebody like that. Or maybe you've been to a sporting event where this guy showed up. Witness. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. When we hear the word witness, we think guilt. We think duty. I went to Bible college. And when I was at Bible college, we actually had a class on witnessing. So one Friday night, they got a bus and they took us all to down inner city LA. Said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to go witness. So here we are, a bunch of lily white Bible students, huddled, trying not to make eye contact with anybody. And every once in a while, somebody would peel off and go, would you like to hear about Jesus? And then we'd run back to the group. That's what we think of. You know, I think we've got this whole idea wrong about what witnessing is. We've defined it wrong. To be a witness is simply to be an eyewitness. And turns out, you're already great at it. Give you an example. You go to a movie, and it's amazing. You just loved it so much. I am not making this up, over the holiday, I went to see Godzilla Minus Zero. And it was, did you see it? It was unbelievable. I can't even explain to you. It's just like you go, Godzilla movie, really? Was that great? The character development was so good. I told everybody about Godzilla. And they gave me the same response you're giving me, these blank stares. But that's what we do, right? You go to Cirque du Soleil, you got to tell everybody. You go see a play that's amazing. You got to tell everybody. That's just, you see a car accident. You see fireworks. That's what we're good at. That's what it means to be an eyewitness. When Jesus says, hey, look, you'll be my witnesses, what he is saying is this. Stay here. Stay in this town. Because in just a few short months, I am going to do something that is so amazing that you will not be able to shut up about it. And that's exactly what happened. If you look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I think there's like 120 of them. The church is really small. And they're kind of afraid of what the Jews are going to do to them. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. I can't even explain what that would be like. What is that? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they said, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Let me tell you something. If you were in that room and you saw this happen, if you were one of those people that had the flame on your head, if people are all of a sudden speaking a different language and none of them went to Spanish class, there was no Google Translate happening here. If you saw that, there's no way you could shut up about it. Listen, that's what it means to be a witness. Who wouldn't want to be a witness? I mean, I honestly think we should be praying, "God, do something that is so incredible, I can't shut up about it." So, if that's what we want to see God do something incredible, and that's what He wants, then why are we not better at this? I think I have a reason. And I want to illustrate it to you like this. Show this next picture. All right? This picture is a picture of a hard plastic seat that you will see at stadiums no matter where you go. They have them at high school stadiums. They have them in college stadiums, professional stadiums, basketball, football, soccer, you name it. And they all kind of look like this, this hard, uncomfortable plastic seat that you spend all this money on. Now, a seat like that can cost you it can be free if you're like at a high school event, but it can cost you for a professional event as little as a dollar. A seat like that can also, for if there are two of them together at the Super Bowl, I looked on Ticketmaster, two of these seats front on the middle of the 50-yard line, $96,000 on Ticketmaster this week for two of those. But like I said, you can also get one for a buck. Miller Park is where the Brewers play, and they have this retractable roof. And way up in the nosebleed section, they have these two I-beams that go up. So you are literally sitting behind I-beams. You can get that for a dollar. And people line up to get those seats. They're called the Euchre seats. Now, anybody who is old would understand what that means. Bob Euchre was the announcer for the Brewers for a very long time. He played in the league. He played 6 years. He batted under 200. And years ago, they did this Miller Lite commercial with Bob Euchre. And he went and he got in these really great seats. And the usher came and they yanked him out of that seat. And he said, anybody remember what he said? Anybody want to say it out loud? "I must be in the front row." And they pulled him out and they put him in the nosebleed seats. And now, in his honor, they sell Euchre seats for $1. Listen. Where you are sitting has everything to do with how much you enjoy the event. If you're in the nosebleeds, it's a very different experience than if you're in the front row. Okay, so years ago, my son was a soccer fan, and his coach, water polo coach, weirdly, lived in Brazil. And the World Cup was in Brazil. And so we decided that we were going to go. We got tickets to go to Brazil. And we won this lottery and I found these tickets on Craigslist that we're going to go to the World Cup. Well, we showed up to see the Netherlands play Chile. And it was amazing. Netherlands, all their fans are all in orange head to toe. They're crazy. They're like, well, like you guys. Just crazed, you know. Right. insane, you know, like you walk on the other side of the street when you see it. Just those kind of people. And the Chile fans, they're like raucous. And you can hear this over and over. Chi, 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 le, 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 viva Chile. Well, when we got to our seats, we were behind the goal, the second row from the top. In other words, the second worst, the almost the worst seats in the entire house. Only one row separated from the absolute worst seats in the entire house. Well, about near the end of the first half, we just said, we're going to see if we can move closer. So I start walking down. I think I walked at least 40 rows down. And I started to go in. I saw two seats. I started to move in. And the Chile fan stopped me. Wait, stop. What are you doing? We want to sit in those seats. He says, you going to cheer for Chile? And I made my response very clear. I said, chi, 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 le, 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 viva Chile. It's just better in better seats. Listen, if you want to see God work and you're not sure if he's working or what he's doing in the world, here is my challenge. You've got to move to a better seat. You are too far back. It's not that he's not doing anything. You just can't see it. Years ago, my wife decided after the earthquake in Haiti that she wanted to take a few people from our church to go. You know, it was a massive earthquake. There was all kinds of need. She thought that maybe a few people would go with her. 30 people went with her. And I'm telling you what, these people who spent thousands of dollars to go on this mission trip to this developing country that was just in shock, they came back and they would not shut up about all the things that they saw and everything, all the kids and the joy, all of it was amazing. And they all got sick during the week. It was, these people are nuts. But they could not shut up about it. So a next opportunity came. There was a guy who's leading a small group of people to go to Haiti. I thought, I got to get on the front row for this. So I said, I'll go. And it was two nurses. It was an architect, a guy who did construction, and the leader of the trip, and me. And I said, well, look, it's obvious what they're going to do. You know, nurses are going to care. The construction guys are going to figure out how to put this back in. Architect, of course. What's my role? He says, well, you're the spiritual leader, you know, so do something religious. So when I got to Haiti, I took an offering. Actually, I worked as a house painter for about 5 years. So there was a girl there who was working with this orphanage and she was going to get married. And so they wanted their bedroom painted. So I thought, okay, that I can do. So when my wife went, she brought my son and my son got to know this guy, Gilbert. And I'd heard so much about Gilbert. I said, hey, Gilbert, you want to help me paint this room? So for the next 2 days, we worked and painted this room. And during that time, I listened to Gilbert tell me about his life in Haiti. And he told me about the one, maybe two meals that he got a day. And he showed me where he slept, which was basically two blankets on the ground. And he never stopped smiling. Well, we got done after those 2 days and I thought, man, I want to pay him. I reached in my pocket. I had like $5. So I say, here's Gilbert. Thank you for your work. And he said, thank you. And so I was cleaning up and folding up tarps and putting away paint. And he disappeared. What the heck? Where's Gilbert? Gilbert had walked outside. He had found a vendor and he came inside and he brought with him a wooden vase. And he said, here, I bought this for your son. Will you bring it to him? He's my friend. I went halfway around the world to help a developing country, and I got front row seats to see an amazing act of generosity. Listen, God is at work. We just got to get to the place where we can see him. So what does that look like? All right. Well, one, there are organizations where you can go on mission trips, right? They're all over the place. You can do that. That's, if you're interested, you can talk to me. I can help you find one. But you don't even have to do that. Let me, you know who's going to see God work? You got kids that are going down to Mexico. I promise you that those leaders that work in that youth group are going to be on the front row when God does something. I have never been in a church that is more friendly, that has better greeting than this church right here. And every week I get a report from the greeters of who was here and who got met. All they're doing is showing up early for church, and they are seeing God change lives. There are people that work with children. Why? Who knows? What the heck? What's wrong with them? And yet, as they're telling these stories, God is changing these little... What is more important than these little lives? Growing up in this world that's so scary, so many distractions. Is there a passion you have? Does it bother you that there are homeless people? There are organizations that work with homeless people. Research. All I want you to do this week is research it. Find out what you can do. Join them in what they're doing. Some of you have a passion. My wife has a passion for people who've been trafficked. There are organizations that help those who have been trafficked, and they're here. Research it. Find it. Move seats. Get out of your comfortable seat. Move to a better seat. Because God is at work. And He's at work all around us. Okay, that's first point. Second point. And here's the best part. There's only 2 points. Second point. Get other people tickets to the game. You know, if you're here, most people here have this relationship with Jesus. If you're not, if you don't, that's, we're so glad you're here. I can't even tell you how glad. You're the star today. But a lot of people here already have that relationship. You're already in the stadium. And you're probably sitting too far back. But at least you're in the stadium. There are people that don't even have seats yet. You know, when Jesus came, He didn't come for religious people. He came for the lost and the least. And He had this message. Look, I came down to earth, and all those things that you wish you'd never done, I died on a cross to save you from them. For them, those addictions, the guilt feelings that you have, the regrets that you have, I died to take all that away from you. And I want to do that for anybody that wants to be in a relationship with me. I'll do it. I'm ready. During Peter's first message, he said this, Acts 2:36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do? And Peter replied, repent. Repent means instead of going this direction, you go in that direction, to 180. Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. That's the line. All who are far off. That's why we're here. That's why we opened the doors this morning. That's why we turned on the heat. That's why we lit in crazy Niner fans. That is the reason why this church exists, for all who are far off. Listen, there are people in your lives that are far off. And my challenge to you today is give them tickets to the game. So what does that even mean? Am I saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bible. The next time you see him, just go bang, just hit him, wham, right there. Read this. Or I got a Bible track. Or hey, the Roman study. Read the Roman study. I'm sure it's great. That's not what I'm asking you to do. You have people in your life that are on the soccer fields, they're on baseball fields, they're your neighbors, they're in cubicles next to you, they work alongside you, they're in the truck as you're driving to work, sitting next to you. here's what I want you to do. I want you to be their friend. When you get a ticket to a sporting event, you ask them. You remember their birthday. You take them out to lunch. You begin praying for them. And if you think reaching out to somebody is beyond you, great. That's just an opportunity for God to work. When you can't do it on your own, that's when God shows up. Begin to pray for this person. I want you to have one of these. These are tickets to the game, and all, this is for you. You got it when you walked in. I just want you to take a pen, and I want you to write that person's name. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's somebody at your office. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Just put a first name on it. That's the person I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray that somehow, some way, we can get them through those doors. Somehow, some way, when Easter happens, they're going to come. Somehow, some way. If you didn't get them, we're going to have them on that back table. You can grab one of these. Who is that person you need to give tickets to the game to? Let's get on the front row. Okay, let me tell you one more story, then we're out. So my dad grew up alcoholic. And then when I was in junior high, my oldest sister found Jesus. It was like Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, part of the Jesus movement. She went, and then she came home, started to share with my dad. And my dad went, and he gave his life to Jesus. And I was the last one in the house. I was a sophomore in high school, and I gave my life to Jesus. Well, my dad, he wanted to follow Jesus so bad, he decided that he wanted to be a pastor. He went to Bible school, and the only problem was, he didn't like people. So if he could be a pastor to dogs, he would have been great. But people, not so great. But his son, his namesake, started working in the church. And I remember a moment, I was speaking at a camp, it was a family camp, and I was the Sunday speaker, and so I invited my dad up. And there he sat, in the front row, while I was speaking, and the tears started to come. And he got to be in the front row. And God renewed him and restored our relationship. He became one of my biggest fans in the world. This is the dad that I want you to know. This is the dad that loves you. This is the dad that would do anything, that delights in you. And if you want to see him work, maybe it's time to move to a better seat. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray that that my friends right now are thinking about somebody. In fact, why don't you just, in the quietness of your own heart, just take a moment and pray for that person. I don't know their name. You know their name, relationship. Just pray. That's all I'm asking. Now, God, I pray on my friends right now that you would give them boldness. That you would push them maybe even beyond what they're comfortable with. Maybe when this friend says, oh my gosh, this thing just happened to me, and they are able to say, can I pray for you? I'm going to pray for you. And just start the conversation. God, thank you for Covenant Grove Church. Thank you for so many people that have walked in and found you. God, I pray that my friends would just be handing out tickets to the game all throughout their lives. Now, one last moment. Maybe there's somebody here, and you do not have a relationship with that loving heavenly dad, because your relationship with your dad was terrible, and you hear on the news that all God's about is judgment and pointing out your sin, and you are learning today that he loves you and delights in you, wants to bring out your best. If you want to know that Jesus, just pray this. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of the things I wish I had never done. God, I put you in charge of my life. I give you the keys to the car. I want you to run my life from this point on. If you prayed that, that begins a brand new life for you. Because all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what you just did. And we'd love to know about it. Fill out your Connect card. Talk to one of the staff. Find me. We'd love to help you on that journey. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for meeting us here in this place. You are our God. In your name we pray. Amen.